Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Voice of Indie. Your hosts today are Beam Weeks, author, producer, and marketing monster for independent multimedia publisher Fresh Ink Group, and Stephen Jeeves, author, producer, composer, and publisher for Fresh Ink Group.
Greetings, everybody. Welcome to another Wednesday evening and another episode of the Voice of Indie podcast. This is episode number 151. I am your host, Beam Weeks, and with me is Mr. Stephen Jeeves. How are you doing tonight, Stephen?
I'm doing fine. It's been beautiful down here in Alabama, but it's been raining like crazy all day today. Of course, the frogs like that because that makes them randy and they go hook up with other frogs.
Yeah, we need rain up here. We're sitting at 83, beautiful sunny day, but we need rain. The grass is starting to not look so green, so we need some rain. As we're getting started, I wanted to send a congratulations to Fresh Ink Group author Aisha Ihsan. She's been on the program here some time ago. She lives in the United Arab Emirates, and she has been honored with a Mastermind Award for her novel, The Autumn Tree. So this is something that the United Arab Emirates gives out. It's like a national merit award, the Mastermind Awards. And good on her. Congratulations, Aisha Ihsan, on The Autumn Tree. So we will be celebrating that.
Yeah, check that book out. We'll put an announcement about that award in next week's newsletter as well, so be sure to check that out too.
Yeah.
So we've got George Dismukes' Paradise My Prison is over on Kindle Vella right now. We're at chapter, what, about 11 or 12, something like that, Beam?
Yeah.
Go check that out. It's
a little while ago.
It's a great suspense thriller. If you're not familiar with Kindle Vella, it's serialized, so you can read a chapter each day or two as they come out, or if they've already come out, you can catch up all at once, obviously. But we're up to probably about chapter 11 or 12. The first three chapters are free, so you can check out three chapters to see if you're interested in the book. And then, if you're new to Kindle Vella, Amazon's giving a couple of hundred free bonus points, which you can use to buy more chapters to read, too. So check that out. Paradise My Prison by George Dismukes on Kindle Vella, and it's live right now. Check it out.
Yeah, and George was the guest on Book World today with C.J. Peterson and Michael Scott Clifton. So go over to C.J.'s YouTube channel or Michael Scott Clifton's YouTube channel, and you can find that interview. Fun interview. George talked about writing movie scripts and whatnot over there today. And just gave a little insider information on what it takes to write a movie script as opposed to writing a novel. So if you're interested in that kind of stuff, he's a guy to listen to. He knows what he's talking about. And Daddy Yo-Yo in the Legendary Marble Tournament by John Blaine.
Janice D. Toney.
Janice D. Toney. There we go. I don't have the name written in front of me. That is out now, and that's a wonderful chapter book with photos, illustrated pictures in it, not photos, but illustrated pictures in there. It's a children's book, and it teaches lessons on bullying and how to get along. And if you got a child or a young adult in your life, grab a copy. So that's by Janice Toney. And if you want to be part of tonight's show, you want to call in with a question or a comment, or you want to just kind of lay in the weeds and throw something out on Twitter, we've got ways that you can do both of those, and here's how that happens.
Call 516-453-9902 right now with your questions or comments for tonight's guest, or post a note on Twitter with hashtag Fresh Ink Group in the body of the tweet, and we'll read it on air. That's 516-453-9902 or hashtag Fresh Ink Group on Twitter.
All right. We've got more books that have just come out recently. Did a couple of weeks of pre-sale and then hit the open market. One is by Robert McKenzie, and it's The Chair, Volume 3. This is the third book in his Chair series that's historical fiction, basically most of it from the point of view of a piece of furniture that's been around to see it all, experience it all, and it focuses on the stories of women over many, many generations. So that's cool. The Chair, Volume 3 by Robert McKenzie is out now. Go get your copy. I'll wait. You got it yet? And then... we've got How to Paint an American, and that's by Andrew McGregor. That is also past its pre-release now. It is actually out. So get over there and order your copy of that, and you can get that right away as well. Both of these books, hardcover with a jacket, a soft cover, or digital editions from whatever your favorite retailer is. You like Nooks, go to Barnes & Noble and get it. You like Kindles, go to Amazon, get it. You want a Kobo, go to Rakuten and get it. I mean... whatever, we've got it out there. So that's The Chair 3 and How to Paint an American out now.
Yeah, and coming up next, we've got The Dayang, which is the first of a trilogy by author Maureen Howard. She's busy. I think she's already finished the second one. I'm wrapping up the editing on the first one, and that should be available before too long. And we've also got coming up the Star Child Trilogy by Robert G. Willescroft. If you want to know dates and pre-sale dates and all that good stuff, we've got a newsletter. And all of these books that we've mentioned here are going to be mentioned in the newsletter. So
What a great idea.
Yeah, if you're not subscribed to our newsletter, why not? Here's how you can subscribe if you're not subscribed.
Stay on top of these podcasts and all things Fresh Ink Group with our weekly digital newsletter, new releases, videos, stories, excerpts, interviews, and more. Sign up now on the homepage of freshinkgroup.com and be the one who knows what's what.
What? All right.
Yeah. Okay, now let's take a look at the top 25 print bestsellers from Fresh Ink Group over the past week or so. We've got some cool ones on here. Or if they're all cool, if Fresh Ink Group published it, it's got to be a good book, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now, we've got the paperback edition of Ellie Collins' Daisy Bold and Beautiful. That's the
Yay.
First book in her Greek mythology series. It's chapter books for young adults. Ellie wrote this book when she was, and I'm not exaggerating here, 11 years old. And it's a novel. She wrote the second book in the series when she was 12. She wrote the third book when she was 13. So we've got three books from young teen Ellie Collins and Daisy Bold and Beautiful is in at number 25. Number 24, we got Figuratively Speaking, Thesaurus of Expressions and Phrases by J. Ash Looney. That's one of his two what we call word books. Now, he's got some plays, he's got some travel stuff, and then he's got a couple of word books as well. The word books are doing especially well in India. Apparently, a lot of people in India are wanting to learn how to speak American version of English. People that I know over there say that, yeah, that's one of the aspirations of a lot of people is to be able to do business with some Americans and to feel comfortable being able to talk, you know, when they're meeting with them. All right, and the number 23 slot, As We Remember, A History of the Women's Relief Corps in Beaufort, South Carolina by Najma Thomas, who might or might not be today's guest. We'll have to wait and see what's happening there. And that's the paperback edition. So that's already, this book just came out. It's already in the top 25 in the paperback edition. But, ooh, I suspect maybe the hardcover might even be higher on this list. We'll have to wait and see. Next up, How to Start and Run Your Own Food Truck Business in Georgia. And if you go three slots above that, How to Start and Run Your Own Food Truck Business in Florida. These are both by A.K. Wingler. She's got the third one out, which is for Tennessee. I'm not seeing it on the list here yet, but it might still show up. In between those, Shipwrecked and Rescued, The City of Bangor, the hardcover edition by Larry Jorgensen. That's the story of the Chryslers that were being shipped to Canada across Lake Superior in the 1920s. When the ship foundered in an ice storm, they had to rescue the crew and leave the cars behind. Or did they go back and get them? Get the book and check that out, because that's a very cool story. Next above that is what we call a very important work, something we're especially proud of, Outshine, an ovarian cancer memoir, second edition by Karen Ingalls. She first published her ovarian cancer memoir in 2012, And so 11 years later, we put out a second edition. She's added more information, updated some of the resources, put another chapter in there, and it's brought us all up to 2023. So check that out, Outshine, an Ovarian Cancer Memoir, second edition by Karen Ingalls, and all proceeds from Karen's sales go to ovarian cancer research. So get out there and support that book. Now, Above the Food Truck Business in Florida, How to Paint an American, the paperback edition by Andrew McGregor. Cool novel. You like that one, Bean?
Oh, I do. That's an excellent novel. I did the editing on that and got to read it as it was going through my hands. And it's an interesting story about a young man who comes to America from Eastern Europe, and he's trying to find out what it means to be an American. And he runs into some crazy characters, some friendly characters, and there's a little bit of danger in there, but at the end he comes to find out what it means to be an American, and it's a good book.
Yeah,
Andrew did a good job with that.
Yeah, and that's his first novel. He's the one, those of you who subscribe to our newsletter, you've seen pictures of him at games, Highland Games, throwing big rocks around, wearing his plaid kilt, and playing his bagpipe.
Playing bagpipes.
Bagpipes in Japan and out in Santa Monica, California. We like to think of Andrew as a character. We're all characters at Fresh Ink Group. So congratulations, Andrew, on that. Next up, we've got American Agony, The Opioid War Against Patients in Pain, the paperback edition by Dr. Helen Burrell. That's a nonfiction look at what's going on with the politics behind the opioid industry in this country, and prosecutions of doctors and some things that Helen shines a very bright light on. And she makes a little bit of fun, too. She plays with the words. She calls people names. She gets a little excited about the topic, and that's what makes it fun and interesting. But it is an important book that makes a lot of important points. Check that out, American Agony, The Opioid War Against Patients in Pain. Above that, we've got How to Teach Driving, Behind the Wheel, Lesson by Lesson, The Instructor's Edition by Kenneth Lindquist. Now, this is for people who want to become driver's ed instructors, and every state has different requirements for getting certified, like Alabama, they don't have any requirements, I think, be able to walk and chew gum. But a lot of the states have very stringent, especially along the East Coast of the United States, very stringent requirements if you want to be a driver's ed instructor. And this is everything you need to know to do that. There's a companion book to this, which is also a parent's edition. So parents of teenagers and young adults who want to help them be better drivers can check out that book as well. Now, Daddy Yo-Yo and the Legendary Marble Tournament, just released Friday. Paperback edition is already about halfway up our top 25 list. Congratulations, Janice D. Tony.
Congratulations, Janice.
Yeah, and make a note, Beam. I see a comma after the name Janice. We might need to go in and check her metadata.
Okay.
Two above that are Sassy Books by B.A. Johnson. Paperback editions. The one right above Daddy Yo-Yo is Sassy Discovers the AME Church. And the one above that is the second book, Sassy Uncovers Peter Allen's Secret. These are illustrated chapter books for young people to learn about the AME Church. Now, above that, last week dropped completely off the list. This week, in at number 6, Submariner, 30 Years of Hijinks and Keeping the Fleet Afloat by Jerry Pate. That's the paperback edition. So that one's been kind of bouncing up and down. Speaking of bouncing, last week, while Dr. Willis Croft was out doing an event, we had 9 of his books in our top 25 list. This week, now that he's out there in the audience listening, we don't have any. So they jumped. Those really jumped in and out fast. But that's the way it works out there, because retailers stock up, and then they let their supplies dwindle down a little bit, and then they stock up again. So a book that's moving steadily sometimes looks like a sawtooth sales curve when we look at it because of all those fluctuations. But Submariner, 30 Years of Hijinks, Keeping the Fleet Afloat, 60 chapters of true stories by a salty old sea dog named Lieutenant Commander Jerry Pate, now retired. Okay, this brings us to our top 5, and 3 of them are tied for third place. Those three tied for third place are the hardcover edition of As We Remember, A History of the Women's Relief Corps in Beaufort, South Carolina by Najma Thomas.
Yay!
It's very cool that it's the hardcover edition that is the better seller between the two editions, because that shows people are serious about this book. They want a collector's copy. They want something nice on the shelf that will last a while and maybe hand down through the generations. So congratulations, Najma. As We Remember is tied for third place. The other two are The Chair, Volume 3 by Robert McKenzie, and The High Road, Memories from a Long Trip by former Alabama drummer Mark Herndon. He played with the super group, country group Alabama for 20-odd years, and then had a bit of a falling out, and things got real interesting, and Mark talks about it in the book, so check that out, too. Now, that brings us to our top two. Number two, Shipwrecked and Rescued, The City of Bangor, the paperback edition by Larry Jorgensen. That book just keeps coming back and performing very well. Number one, the hardcover. The hardcover. Again, people, pay attention to this. This is a novel, and it's the hardcover edition that is outselling the softcover edition. Wow. And it's a very long novel, so it's fairly expensive too. I mean, it's not just a throwaway. This is somebody's making serious investment. What are we talking about? Robert McKenzie's The Chair, Volume 3, subtitled 7, 8, and 9. That's our number one bestseller. Congratulations, Robert.
Congratulations, Robert. All right, a little update. We got I'm working on another audiobook. This is The Young Knights from Cheryl Carpinello, and that's coming along slow right now. The voice artist is Ethan Drew. He did the third book for Ellie Collins' Greek mythology series. He's releasing these to me as he gets them done, but he's got other stuff going on too, so you know, I don't get them as quick as we did with the other ones, but he's almost done with them, and that's a cool sign. As soon as I get these in, I start putting them together, and keep your ears and eyes open on that newsletter, because The Young Knights, this is going to be another really cool audiobook. Ethan is a professional. He does this stuff for a living, seriously. He's an actor. But he also does voiceover work in animation and things like that. That's how he reads it. He reads it like he would an animation thing. So he'll give me three different choices of the same line to pick from on what I think would work for that particular scene. And that's really cool. So
what are you doing to these scenes when he sends them to you?
I am picking the ones that I need to put in there. I'm putting sound effects in there. There's music to start the chapter, music to let you know that there's a scene break here, but the sound effects are really cool, especially this one, The Young Knights. This is kind of Renaissance stuff with the Knights of the Round Table type of stuff, and so you got horses in there whinnying and snorting, and you got weather going on. There's some waves washing over the sea, and just a lot of really cool stuff, so again, get subscribed to our newsletter and you'll find out all about this stuff. And if you've missed an episode of this program, we're currently sitting at number 151. Well, all of these episodes are in our archives, and here's how you can find them all.
Find your favorite show in the Voice of Indie archives on YouTube at Fresh Ink Group, StephenGees.com, BeamWeeks.com, FreshInkGroup.com, and on Spotify. And now, you can listen on iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, and TuneIn. Just search The Voice of Indy, all one word.
Now on Kindle Vella, Charlie Flint awakens from a deep sleep and finds himself alone on a tropical beach surrounded by a palm tree jungle and exotic animals. He cannot remember who he is or anything about his life. First, he must find food and build shelter and protect himself from hidden dangers. As his memory gradually returns, it reveals what a very flawed person he is. A man who made too many mistakes, made too many enemies. The implications of the truth are staggering. How did Charlie get there? And will he save himself? Paradise My Prison is the riveting new suspense thriller from retired Hollywood scriptwriter George Dismuse. Published by Fresh Ink Group, Paradise My Prison is on Kindle Vella with 3 free episodes. Paradise My Prison by George Dismuse.
All right, so let's meet this week's guest. Najma Thomas, PhD, is a full-time associate professor in the Human Services Program and a faculty member for African American Studies at the University of South Carolina, Beaufort. She earned a BA in Public Policy at the College of William & Mary, a Master's of Adult Education and Distance Learning from the University of Phoenix, and a PhD in Public Policy and Administration, Urban Policy, at Virginia Commonwealth University. Her career includes serving as a Deputy Director for the Crater Regional Workforce Investment Board, Director of Capacity Building for the Cameron Foundation, and Policy Planning Specialist for the Virginia Community College System. She has published several articles and secured numerous grants. A Southeastern Council of Foundations Hall Fellowship, she received... A Southeastern Council of Foundations Hall Fellow, she received the Living Legacy Award for the Association for the Study of African American Life and History. She is also a 2017 Fellow with the Institute for African American Research at USC. Najma Thomas lives in Beaufort area with her family. Welcome to the show, Najma.
Welcome.
Hi, Gary. Hi.
Yeah. All right. So how about we tell the audience a little something about where all have you lived? Are you originally from South Carolina? And if not, where have you lived and what brought you to South Carolina?
Sure. South Carolina is my home, but interestingly enough, I was born in Richmond, Virginia. So my father's folks are from Virginia. My mom's folks are from here in St. Helena in South Carolina. And they had the good sense to raise me way down south. Before I turned one, I came back home. So this is home, but I claim both areas. And, in terms of, where I've lived, it's really just between Virginia and South Carolina. No shade to North Carolina, but we kind of skipped them.
So are you kind of like in the campus area right now or a little bit more out in the country? What's it like where you live? And, I just think it's beautiful. Every time I've been to South Carolina, everything's beautiful.
It is. This is probably one of the most sought-after locations in South Carolina, probably on the East Coast right about now. I am on the beautiful island of St. Helena, in the heart of the Gullah Geechee community. Mm-hmm. And if it rains anymore, y'all might have to get an actual bateau boat out here to come get us. Yeah.
It's been falling a lot, huh?
My goodness. Biblical proportions rain.
Well, you can send some up my way. I'm up here in Michigan where we need rain, and we really do.
Yeah, I heard that earlier. We'll send you some buckets.
All right.
So what was it like growing up in the area, and what kind of kid were you? Were you kind of a tomboy out in the country a lot, or were you reading and writing and doing more of academic kinds of things? What kind of kid were you?
Probably a mix of both. Our family background is in agriculture, and I'm still doing that, by the way. So we grew up outside in the cornfields or watermelon fields or sweet potato fields, depending on the season. But we also, did a lot of reading. So Nancy Drew mysteries were my favorite.
Oh.
And thinking back, I actually wrote when I was in middle school. I started a little drama for my middle school classmates. I would write a couple of pages a week and bring them in, and we would read these pages and pass them around when we were supposed to be doing actual work. And in one of our classes, I was not a good student. I was always, causing confusion and unnecessary drama. And so, yeah, a little bit of both there.
Did you do any writing at all at a very young age, just even little stories or things like that?
Yeah, outside of the, you know, just the little stories I would write for my classmates. I never did write every day in my journal like I was supposed to, though. It was just the little drama stories that I wrote about this young girl and her boyfriend and all of the trouble they got into. But yeah, that was probably my first foray into writing.
Cool.
All right.
Okay. We have another commercial we're going to play now, and then we're talking to Najma Thomas, author of As We Remember, and those of you who want to have a conversation and make a comment or ask a question of Najma, call in 516-453-9902.
A small rural community in the Lowcountry along Ocean Highway Green Pine, South Carolina, has long lacked cultural and educational opportunities for its young people's future success. Many have gone on to serve in the highest levels of education, government, public service, elected office, business, and medicine. With so much success against the odds, surely there must be something in the water. Abigail Hugeni chronicles the impact just 42 of Green Pond's children have gone on to make in the world. All full-color editions include photos from around town and local translations of down-home fame. These inspirational stories prove that, regardless of one's background, we can all find our own path toward greatness. An excellent reference, keepsake, gift, and addition to every library. There Must Be Something in the Water, Anthology of the Fourth Generation, Descendants of Green Pond, After the Emancipation, is proudly published by Fresh Ink Group.
That's a wonderful book by Dr. Abigail Hugeni, who was the first lady of Alabama A&M University here when her husband was president up until the end of last year. She's working on a couple more books right now, including one looking at the first ladies, the history of the first ladies of the university, which is quite cool. So we're very proud of that book, and we're also pleased to see that it has performed really well internationally. You know, it's selling in other countries and selling all around the U.S., not so much just the area around South Carolina. So congratulations on that, Abigail Hugeni.
Yes. All right.
So I understand we have a phone call before we move on.
We do. We've got this one is from, I believe, Virginia. So we're going to bring that one in. Hello, Virginia. You are on the air. What's your name and where are you calling from?
How you doing, Weeks and Geeks? Thanks for having me on. My name is Paris. I'm calling from Virginia, Southside area.
All right. Well,
hello.
Welcome to the show.
What was the name again? Paris. Okay. Yeah, thanks for calling in, Paris.
Thanks for having me on. I just got my copy here of As We Remember, and I haven't really cracked into it yet, but wanted to ask the author what can I expect, you know, to gain in historical enlightenment when it comes to this Women Relief Corps?
Ooh.
Oh, that's a great question, Paris. Full disclosure, Paris is my son calling in from Virginia. Hey, Paris, thanks for joining us this evening.
Fantastic.
Oh, man. What
so,
can
hey,
you,
how you doing?
Expect?
Hey, the harshest,
doing,
the harshest critic.
Yeah, you know,
I know,
you know, just want to keep her on
really
her toes.
I know. Well, this is a hard question. You can expect to learn a lot of what was not included in our history books in school, especially about the role that Black women played in crafting the narrative around patriotism, actually in like engendering the patriotic cause, especially in the South, where because of you know, the impact of the Civil War and prior to that, of course, chattel enslavement. They weren't seen as the leaders of the patriotic cause, but
right.
I think As We Remember really does help to shift that narrative and gives us an opportunity to reconsider this idea of patriotism, gives us an opportunity to think about the ways in which service is understood and can be understood Yeah, I think you'll get that and a little bit more.
Okay, awesome.
Is that
fantastic.
A good answer,
I'm looking forward to it. That's the look. That's amazing. And I think anybody that has the book, soft copy, hard copy, they'll be happy to get it. They'll be looking forward to that information. It hasn't been taught, hasn't been given out. And I think you're doing us all a service, honestly.
Thank you.
Yeah. That's cool because people can share that book for generations, literally generations to come. That's the kind of book you want to have on the shelf in a family library.
Yeah.
That's
there's
what
a
you
lot
do,
of
right?
great photos in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks
yeah,
for calling in, Paris.
Thank you, guys.
All right. So now that we've met your son, Najma,
yes.
Tell us about the rest of your family. Do you have other children?
Son.
Well, we don't have that much time because, like most of southern folks are. We've got multiple limbs on this family tree. But, yes, that's my son, my only son, my favorite son. He and I have the majority of our lived experience in Virginia. So, you know, I was talking about the Virginia family, so he represents the Virginia contingent. And I've got eight brothers and four brothers, four sisters, so a really large family. My partner, Daryl Orridge, and I are here on St. Helena. We farm. He's got a farm. I've got a farm I help my brother with. And, our parents are still with us. We have a very large family, pretty tight community here on St. Helena. Got a lot of family members in the Central Virginia area as well. Lots of nieces, lots of nephews, cousins, and aunts and uncles. I could talk for years about family, but we'll move on.
Well, before you move on, tell us about Paris. What's he up to?
Well, first of all, as you can tell, Paris is great. He is actually he actually does editing, so all of my reports, all of my book drafts, I send to him because he has one of the most critical eyes. But he gives me feedback in a way that doesn't make me feel horrible about all of the mistakes I've made, the way teachers should be. He is not a teacher though; he is in the paramedic field. He's an EMT, studying to be a paramedic. And is an all-around fantastic guy. I wish he was closer here so we could hang out more. But, you know, thanks to technology, we definitely get to stay in close contact.
Yeah, he's going into a very important field, too. You should be proud of that. And I'll bet you he's proud of his mom, especially now that she's got this book out and everybody's jumping up and down and saying, wow, that is cool.
Yeah.
I'm super proud of Mr. Paris Brown, indeed.
So, what is your day job there at the university? And you say that he helps you proofread things like reports and stuff. What kind of stuff are you doing?
Yeah, so I'm cross-listed in two departments at USCB. So I'm in the Department of Social Sciences, where I'm responsible for courses that cover African American Studies. And then I'm also with the Department of Public Health and Human Services. That's actually what I was hired to provide a program coordination for. So if you want to say sort of like I've got three responsibilities at the university, it's teaching, research, and service. And then I've got administrative duties, and that's where the reports and, all of that come in. Right now I'm working on program reaccreditation for the Human Services Program. And for those of you out there or listening who are hearing Human Services and thinking, is that Human Resources? It is not. Think everything from your Boys and Girls Club to substance abuse treatment, to housing insecure services, to services for the elderly population, human services, help individuals, families, and communities move from a point of crisis to surviving and then thriving. And so I provide, of course, instruction for courses, coordinate the program, and make sure all of our, you know, I's are dotted and our T's are crossed and we are accredited. We are the only four-year human services program accredited in the state of South Carolina. I think about one, about 13 or maybe 15 now across the country. So, you know, we've got to do a pretty robust evaluation process, an evaluation report. That's what Paris helped me edit that. Our accreditation application is probably going to be about 80, 90 page application. So I will be calling on him for support there as well. So, yeah, that's my day job. Well, that's one of you know, one of the big ticket items on my day job. Of course, teaching is the main thing, you know, making sure that we are meeting our students where they are and helping them to get to where they want to be. And lots of other wonderful things in between on the probably one of the more beautiful campuses.
Yeah, very beautiful.
And anywhere.
So you're, I assume you're writing a lot of grants and stuff too, chasing the money, as it were?
Well, you know, I don't like to do a whole lot of chasing of the money. I have been pretty successful in securing, you know, grant funding for my research. However, I have a pretty robust background in foundation and grant management. So that is a part of what I do, but I do not like to chase the money. Grant writing is not something that I enjoy doing, actually. I do it in order to get the either the service done or get a community partnership funded. And most of my research is community participatory action research. So it's really important to have those dollars come in and get to people in the community whose lives can be, you know, improved in some way or another as a result of the work. And I've been really blessed to secure funding from folks like the Sustainable Agriculture Research and Education arm out of UGA and the South Carolina Department of Social Services, a couple of other folks. So, good way to support meaningful work.
Oh, definitely meaningful. Do you have students involved in that at all, doing, you know, practicums for classes or anything like that?
Yeah, absolutely. We've got the grant that I'm working on now. We have funds for research assistants, funds for interns, and there's a lot of opportunity for students if they're interested in just learning how to do qualitative research, if they're interested in connecting with community partners and learning how to do participatory action research, if they just want to build their, you know, their writing chops through research, we have resources to help them do that as well.
Oh, cool. Definitely. So, Beam, you want to roll the Daddy Yo-Yo commercial? Let's learn about Janice D. Toney's book, and then we'll come back and talk to Najma Thomas some more, and pretty soon we'll be getting into the book, As We Remember. Very
All
cool
right.
book.
When Aaliyah and Kehlani go from having fun to tussling, Big Mama puts it to rest, as fighting and bullying are plain wrong. Later, Big Daddy tells the girls about the photo of a man on the mantle. His name is Daddy Yo-Yo, he says, telling the girls about his late grandfather, who watched out for all the children in his neighborhood. Daddy Yo-Yo and the Legendary Marble Tournament is about a group of boys having fun until Evil Eye Bucket Smith tries bullying his smaller rival, young Chucky Fry. Daddy Yo-Yo won't stand for it. He knows that looking out for kids also means teaching about pride, self-worth, and caring for others. From Fresh Ink Group and author educator Janice D. Toney, the illustrated full-colored chapter book, Daddy Yo-Yo and the Legendary Marble Tournament is out now. Grab and share your copy in hardcover, softcover, or all ebook formats. Find out who the real winners are as we all learn the wisdom of Daddy Yo-Yo.
Yeah, that is available now. Go on, grab your copy.
Just released Friday.
Yeah. So, Najma, we've heard about you. Got a pretty busy work schedule with the things that you do. How do you relax? Do you have hobbies, or what kind of interests do you have to take your mind off of the work?
I do more work, but it's different kinds of work. It's work at our family farm. And so I know that sounds like that's not relaxing, but for the people on the call or who are listening at a later date who either farm or garden, they will understand what I'm talking about. There is a sense of release and restoration, and I do some of my best thinking and planning when my hands are in the dirt and weeding or, you know, spreading mulch or putting seeds down. So that is really my, that's one of the primary ways I relax. It's one of my hobbies that is also, you know, a job in and of itself.
Hey, any hobby that ends up with something to eat at the end, that can't be all bad, huh?
You can't, there's no losing there, is it?
Yeah, no. So this is your farm, a working family farm?
This is a working family farm. It's Earth People Farms. That's Earth People Farms. And
cool.
We are what we call a micro farm. So if you have the image in your mind of, you know, 400 or 500 acres with a combine and, you know, that's not us. That's not what we do. We are a we're a micro farm. We focus primarily on herbs that were used in the traditional Gullah Geechee culture, and we also have row crops. And we partner with a lot of the other farmers on St. Helena to make sure that we do our part. You know, we're not trying to feed everyone, but we're trying to make sure that folks who are interested in sustainably produced food and traditional herbs have access to it.
Hmm. So in its own way, it's a farm that preserves history as well as perpetuating and keeping the culture alive. I like that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
And I'll bet the views are stupendous.
They are. And we hear the frogs too, Gary.
Oh, yeah.
It's actually in a place called Frogmore. That's
ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh. I'll be visiting.
There you go.
All right. You want to move on to talk about the book here?
Before we do that, let's ask Najma how exactly this project came about. I know you had
That's
to
what
get
I was
a
gonna
grant.
Ask. How did this project come about?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Yeah, well, there's a USCB connection there. One of our campus members, Joshua Harris, shout out to Joshua, came to my office. Oh, I want to say it was in 2018. So much has happened, like in pre and post pandemic years melted together, and I really have difficulty remembering. But, you know, he came to my office and said, Dr. Thomas, I know of this amazing group of women, and they are looking for a researcher to help them document their story. So this is, you know, he says they want to write their story, and they need an academic to help them. And I think you would be the perfect person to do that. And I had never heard of the Women's Relief Corps. That was my first introduction to this organization and to the history of the organization. And then I met with the ladies, wonderful group of community-minded leaders. And, of course, I was happy to take on the work. Their organization had received grant funding to have it documented. And so they contracted with me to do it. the first thing I did was interviewed as many of their members as I could. And, you know, these ladies are, many of them were in their 80s and 90s. And so it was really important to meet with them and document their, you know, what they remember. And that's how the name, the title of the book came together. It's as they remembered their story and their experiences in Beaufort. And that was the genesis of the project, just listening, documenting, and then doing, of course, the historical research. So the book is their story with historical context provided. It's a public history project in that it's not written purposely as an academic history book. It is written in a way to provide the highest level of accessibility for the general public, so that there would be more, that folks would be more likely to gravitate to the story, to connect with it easily, and to be, you know, willing to share it across generations, as we talked about when Paris was on the phone. I'll talk about the book launch a little later, and, you know, remind me to talk to you about that piece as well. But that's how it started.
Wow, that's pretty cool. I think it's time we play the commercial and learn what this book is.
Yeah. All right.
As We Remember documents the remarkable story of a Women's Relief Corps chapter in Beaufort, South Carolina. The WRC is a national organization established as an official auxiliary to the Grand Army of the Republic in 1883. A Women's Relief Corps post has existed in the city of Beaufort in various forms since 1892. While much of the record of the early Beaufort Corps was passed through the esteemed oral history tradition, in 2019, members commissioned a study to ensure their story would be documented in print form and told for many generations to come. That story centers African American women as lead agents of change and co-creators of the patriotic spirit, an important theme given that historically, the National WRC was primarily white-led. And in southern localities like Beaufort, completely segregated. Beyond documenting the members' experiences, this story is compelling in the larger context of our nation contending with changing notions of its national identity and definitions of patriotism. Written and compiled by Najma Thomas, PhD, and proudly published by Fresh Ink Group, this fascinating history is available in all ebook formats. Or grab your keepsake edition in full color softcover or laminate hardcover, or listen to the audiobook narrated by the author. As We Remember, a history of the Women's Relief Corps in Beaufort, South Carolina.
Yes. Now that audiobook is still in progress. That's going to take a little while, but the book is out now. All the ebook and print editions are available. Order your copies and get them right away. So, Beam, we have another caller.
Yeah, I'm hearing some kind of a noise. Yeah, some kind of a noise. It stopped. All right. Yeah, we're going to
thumping too.
Yeah, it's like a thumping. I don't know what that is. Almost sound like somebody was tapping something. All right. We are going to go to the phone lines, and we have Dr. Helen Burrell. Hello, Dr. Helen.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
Hi, Helen. How are you? All right.
Yeah, you know what? My question is, you already told me that you started at a very young age writing, so I won't ask about early. But I am always interested in the writer's process. What is Dr. Thomas's process? Especially when she's doing, does she do fiction?
Oh.
Have you done any fiction, Najma?
Hi, Dr. Helen. I have not.
Hi.
Hi. No, I have not written any fiction. And in fact, this is outside of academic articles. This is the first book that I've published. The majority of my writing is technical writing or, academic research articles. Yeah, you know, the peer review process.
Yeah, but still, that's still very creative. So I'm wondering what your process is. How do things come to you? Is it all planned or is some of it extemporaneous?
It's all planned for me. With this book, I started with an outline, and I went through several editions of the outline because I wrote this book with the ladies of the Women's Relief Corps, and I wanted to make sure that, you know, everything that was in the book spoke to them in the way that was authentic. But I even when writing a technical paper, white paper, article, what have you, I always have an outline. I usually have a page count, something that, you know, I'm shooting for. I'm terribly rigid, in fact. If my partner was having this conversation, he would agree wholeheartedly that I'm terribly rigid. I have a certain amount of pages I'm going to write every day. I have a certain amount of words that are going to be on pages so that I can reach my goal in a particular period of time. I think if I had a more flexible schedule, maybe I could be more extemporaneous. Maybe I could, go off the rails a little bit. But because most of my work is very project-driven and very time-driven, I've got to have a specific plan for it.
Even though you're working in academia, do you ever find that you can use some humor?
Oh, yes. and irony, too.
Because otherwise you can get very dry, you know. Yeah.
Well, I want to take a minute. Maybe we're going to do this later, but I want to give a shout-out to a different kind of copy editor I work with, Shondell Reyna, because I wanted this book, As We Remember, to read a little bit more like a story and less like an academic paper. A lot of the credit for that goes to Shondell Reyna. She is she's on shondellreyna.com. I sent her the first edition of the manuscript, not so much for copy editing, but for some feedback on how to make it flow more like a story and less like a research paper. So it was helpful to have someone else who was not attached to the project. Once I got the outline approved by the Women's Relief Corps members and everyone was happy with the content, I wanted to work with the flow and the tone, and she helped me do that.
Oh. Cool.
Yeah, so
very
good to have some
very interesting. Congratulations.
Now,
you're
speaking to both Beam and me when you talk about outlining and being organized and
yeah.
having a plan and all that kind of stuff, because we both approach writing that way, too. Did you have any surprises? Like, once you got into the research, did you have some things that, whoa, that doesn't fit into the outline, but I got to include this now, or anything that caught you off guard at all?
Well, the number of names from history that I was familiar with that had something or another to do with the Women's Relief Corps, and specifically had something to do with the Women's Relief Corps in Beaufort, that really surprised me. So, you know, folks like Harriet Tubman, for example, was a WRC member, and she has a pretty storied record here in Beaufort. I was familiar with that, but I didn't know about her connection to the WRC. Susie King Taylor was another, and these women, I used their stories to sort of fill in the blanks because the timeline for the Women's Relief Corps or Corps in Beaufort goes, all the way back to, 1861. And so having, access to specific information from that time period about the Women's Relief Corps is really difficult because, there was not a lot of documentation about the specific work. A lot of the work that these ladies did and their predecessors did, it was passed down through oral tradition. And that was one of the reasons why they wanted to make sure they documented their story at this particular point in time. That's not to say that the oral tradition lacks value. In fact, there are a number of cultures that rely on the oral tradition, and it's valuable in and of itself. But they, also wanted to make sure that there is a written record, and there was a written record. And following the work of these much more widely, broadly known figures helped me to kind of connect the dots and fill in some gaps and show how, their service would have mirrored the service of the women whose names we do not know, and who we couldn't talk to or who didn't write their own memoirs, so we couldn't reference it directly. That was a bit surprising to me.
Wow.
Also, the angle on patriotism. So I want to say, we didn't start out to write a book about patriotism. We started out to write a book about work that Black women in Beaufort did for decades. And just, in doing the research to provide additional historical context, I found all of this information about all of this research that was done about how patriotism was crafted and the difference between symbolic and blind patriotism. And, if you're in the South, you're familiar with the Lost Cause ideology and how that sort of won the day after the Civil War, and how it really distorted a lot of our knowledge about patriotism. So that was, I guess, that the angle that eventually came together was a bit surprising to me as well. But the research was there, and then reviewing the content of the interviews with the ladies, it all aligned. So that's what we have.
Wow. So, Helen, you got a thorough answer to your process question this
time. Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds familiar to my medical writing when I was in medical advertising. But you always can find, a spark of humor somewhere,
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good. Congratulations again, Dr. Thomas.
Thank you kindly.
Thanks for calling in, Dr. Helen.
Thanks for calling,
Helen. Thank you, guys.
Take care.
Okay. All right. We're talking to Najma Thomas, PhD, author of As We Remember. And we're going to roll another commercial now. This is a book that's also well-researched by Janelle Jordan, Still Not Enough, Minority Millennials in the Workforce.
Still Not Enough examines the plight of minority millennials in the workforce. Janelle A. Jordan details her own perspective-molding cultural upbringing, along with professional encounters hindered by others' preconceived notions and unconscious biases. She shares examples that are relatable to many with similar experiences. The scars from every denial fueled the desire for each minority millennial to do more. This book also guides leaders managing today's DE&I employees. Norms are evolving, and organizations must adapt or be left behind. Proudly published by Fresh Ink Group in all print and digital formats worldwide, Still Not Enough brings transparency to the challenges of today's younger and more inclusive workforce.
That's an excellent book.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about your book launch, Najma. How did that go?
Well, it went really well. We held the book launch at the Grand
Army Hall, which is one of the last remaining structures related to the Grand Army of the Republic in the city of Beaufort. I think it's the last one actually in the state of South Carolina. So it's very historically relevant, certainly relevant to the content of the book. We ordered what we thought was going to be way more than, you know, we would need. We thought we'd get a handful of people. I think we had about 50 show up. We sold out of all of the books.
Wow.
It was really a very busy night. I didn't expect it to be that busy. It was great. And I felt really happy for the members of the Fred Washington Senior Women's Relief Corps, because they, you know, this is really all about them and the service that they provided, not just to our city, but to our nation, and to those who served our nation. So it was really, really incredible to have that kind of turnout. And we had to order more books because folks, like you mentioned, I think at the top of the call, they wanted a keepsake edition. They want the hardcover with the signature. So it was great.
Yeah, what kind of feedback are you getting from those who have purchased the book?
You know, so far the feedback is really good. The book has a lot of full color pictures, really nicely touched, some of them because they were older photos. So your team did a fantastic job bringing them back to life. And, you know, during the book launch, you know, people were flipping through and, you know, they come up and say, that's my grandma right there. And that picture.
I love that.
That's cool.
Yeah, just really. And, you know, a lot of the ladies have since passed on and transitioned. And so, you know, their relatives, some of their relatives were in the room. They said that I remember so much of how important the Women's Relief Corps was to my grandma or my aunt or my mom in some cases. So it's been really gratifying to get that kind of feedback.
Oh, that's wonderful. I like that picture on the cover. Can you tell us something about that picture? What are we looking at there?
Yeah, so this is the Memorial Day Sunday service. You know, one of the main responsibilities of the Women's Relief Corps. So this is not just a Beaufort, you know, thing. This is nationwide. And they are, every Memorial Day, they partner with the sons and daughters of Union Civil War veterans to honor those who gave their lives for freedom, and particularly to honor the sailor soldiers who lost their lives at sea. And so the book, the cover of the book has a picture of ladies holding the American flag. They're in black. They're in all black. That's the attire that they wear on the Sunday before Memorial Day. They actually, there are five churches that they partner with, they rotate every year. One of the churches hosts the Sunday memorial service, and then after the service, they either walk or carpool down to the water. Like I said, I'm on St. Helena Island. Beaufort is basically a collection of islands. Beaufort is the mainland, and they're at the waterfront, and they have a short ceremony at the waterfront, and then they cast flowers onto the sea. And,
oh, beautiful.
It's a beautiful ceremony, a very ritualistic ceremony that they carry out to honor and to make sure that the next generation doesn't forget. And they have a good time doing it as well. And the picture, they just look delighted. I joined them for their ceremony just a couple of weeks ago for this year's Memorial Day, and it was very similar.
Cool. Yeah. Well, how old is that picture that's on the cover?
I guess this might be 1970.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's a I can't recall the exact date, but I think it's 1970.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, when I'm editing photos for some of these books that we publish, sometimes that can be a little bit of a tedious process, but I had fun doing this one because it felt important. You know, working on like that picture that's on the cover, it's like, okay, it's already a beautiful picture. Let me bring out, you know, a little bit more of what's there, some of the color or whatever. And it's preserving history. And I think that's very important work. And that makes it fun just right there because I like to see it out there and, to hear that people are recognizing their family members and whatnot. That's just terrific, too.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as you know that you're a published author, do you have any advice for other authors or people who are looking to, get that first book out or even authors that have been around for a bit? Do you have any advice?
I would say stick with it and be willing to adjust your plan, but keep your focus on the ultimate goal. And also be willing to make adjustments in, what you originally thought you were going to produce. I found with this project, it's really good to have help. I can't say that enough. Just having the help of the Fresh Ink group, first of all, is really valuable. And having the editing support that I had although it takes more time, writing with a group was a very rewarding process as well. So that's what I would offer. Reach out for help. Don't feel afraid to partner. And if you have to make adjustments to your timetable, that's okay too. Just keep going.
Good advice.
Yeah.
So, Najma Thomas, PhD, author of As We Remember. How do people find you out there? Do you have some contact information, some social media handles, a website, or any other way that people can find you, learn more about you, or send you a note?
Sure. I actually have a website, najmathomas.com, and that's my social media handle as well. I'm pretty easy to find on the internet, quick Google search, and there'll be a lot of different links. But najmathomas.com is your best bet.
Right. Well, thanks for being on the show, Najma. We really enjoyed learning more about you and the book.
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
And everybody,
thanks
of course,
for having me.
If you're having trouble finding the book or want to get a note to Najma and can't remember the handles or weren't sure how to spell her name, we've got a contact form at freshinkgroup.com. Just send us a note and we'll pass it along. We'll make sure that you hear back from somebody. So, again, thanks for being on the show, Najma.
Next week, we've got
author
this
Macy Lewis. Yeah. We've got author Macy Lewis coming next week, the week after that theme.
After that is author Alicia Butcher Earhart, and after that
we've got C.S. Boyack, one of our favorite authors and a fellow Story Empire member. We're looking forward to seeing what Craig's got to say.
Yeah, and after that we've got Kim Bacellia, and she's going to be coming in here in August, which we're lining them up, getting through July and into August now, so... Yeah, tune in for that one. And after that.
Yeah. After that, we've got Maureen Howard. We're working on multiple books for her. We're getting ready to put out a book of 25 original mermaid paintings that she's done for a big festival they hold in Texas called the Yachty Gras. And that's the word yacht, Y-A-C-H-T, the Yachty Gras.
Yeah.
You have to think about it for a second.
It threw me. I'm like,
and,
is that Y-O-T-T or Y-O-D-D-Y?
Yeah.
Yachty.
And, she's also got a thriller trilogy, and the first book called The Dayang is going to be out in a couple of weeks as well. So Maureen Howard will be our guest after that. And then we got somebody else in August, Beam?
Yeah, we got coming in August 23rd, David Carroll. He's been on before. He's a NBC newsman in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and he's got a new book coming out that's kind of the social media blunders, and it's called I Won't Be Your Scapegoat. It's some funny stuff. So
yeah, we laugh out loud.
That. Yeah, looking through the pictures, we were laughing out loud, the two of us, Stephen and I. So.
All right. So, again, this week's guest, Najma Thomas. Her book is As We Remember, and it's about the ladies, the Relief Corps of Beaufort, South Carolina. Get out there and check that book out. If you know anybody that'd be interested, help us spread the word. And thanks for being on the show again, Najma.
Yeah, thank you, Najma.
Thank you.
All right. And we'll see everybody next week.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Rob.
And I'm Joan. We would like you to join us on Meet the Author podcast live every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Time in the U.S.
Yeah, Meet the Author podcast is a live video broadcast produced in association with WLFE-D Radio, airing on Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube. Shortly after each episode ends, it's released on a dozen major podcast platforms.
We have casual conversations with authors of many genres. You will often hear humorous stories from their lives or sometimes some very poignant stories. Some of these people have overcome great obstacles to become authors. However, it's always a fun time.
It always is. So come join the fun, make comments, ask questions. We hope to see you at Meet the Author podcast live every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Find all the program links at indiebooksource.com. Until then.
That's all, folks.
Hi, I'm Mary Margaret Fanson. My grandmother, Big Mama, calls me Sassy. I've been a member of the African Methodist Episcopal Church all my life. I never knew why everyone was so proud to be AME. Then I met Gerald in Children's Church. He thinks he knows everything about being AME. I have to learn a lot more just to show him. B.A. Johnson has been writing a series of books about me, my brother, and my friends, with lots of colorful drawings. We also explore bullying, friendship, inclusion, death, grief, forgiveness, and more. Sassy Discovers the AME Church is about me learning about our church and something terrible that happened in Charleston. The second book, Sassy Uncovers Peter Allen's Secret, is about discovering the story of our church's founder's family and one hero in particular. These and more Sassy books are published by Fresh Ink Group in laminated hardcover, softcover, and all ebook formats available worldwide. Come on, join me and discover why I can say I'm proud to be AME.
You've been a part of Voice of Indy, a production of Fresh Ink Group. Spread the word, support our guests, then find us at freshinkgroup.com and be sure to hashtag Fresh Ink Group.